little review. All right, a little review on Hosea for last week, first chapter. What was it about? That first chapter. For all of you who did their homework, and I know you were just talking into it this week.
Homework?
What homework?
Read ahead.
Oh, read ahead. Yes.
All right. So what was chapter one about again? Let's see.
Wasn't it an illustration of how God was going to fix everything? Or used Hosea, told Hosea to marry a prostitute, where, you know.
So what was he doing through Hosea?
Well, I guess he's the one with the prophet. Says right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you remember what Hosea, his name means.
He was using the children that he was going to have as signs of what he was going to do.
Yeah, sign. That was the word I was looking for. Yep. Thank you.
Very good. And I think your husband put it very well last week, that Hosea's life is going to be kind of a... How did you put it again?
Oh, it was only 7 days ago.
Kind of like a representation of God's grace. And so the king was like God in the respect that God was loving, you know, us no matter what, and Hosea was loving his wife no matter what, even though she was a sinner, a prostitute, cheated on him, had children that weren't his.
Yeah.
And did everything possible as a slap in the face, but he still, you know, was took care of her.
Yeah.
It didn't throw her out on her head.
So what does that kind of remind us of? Who does that for us every single day?
Well, it just shows God's patience with us, you know, how time and time again we just keep sinning, you know, walking away, and, you know, he just waits for us with open arms, you know, waiting for us to turn back to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very true. So today, this little handout you got right here, this is basically for reference purposes for you. And this isn't anything we're really going to be covering too much today, but this is reference material for today's lesson. So we're going to be starting out at chapter 1, verse 10. And what I'm going to do here today is I'm going to go around just like we did last week. And we're just going to do that first portion right here, chapter 1, verse 10, all the way up to... 11. So we're going to go right up to chapter 2. So I'm just going to do is start over on this side, go around, just read one section and then go to the next person.
Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it was said to them, "You are not my people," they will be called sons of the living God.
The people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited. And they will appoint one leader and will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel.
Good, thank you. So, what is Hosea talking about here? It says, yet the Israelites will be like the sands of the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. What is he trying to say to them there?
Tons of
innumerable.
Mm-hmm.
Multiplying.
Yeah, where else in the Bible did we hear that before?
Abraham.
Mm-hmm. Abraham. What did God say to Abraham?
Go outside and count the stars. That's how big your family's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you can do that. And it's like trying to count the sands of the seashore.
Yeah, he's still counting.
So that was a promise made to Abraham. And so Hosea's pointing that out again.
Echoing it, yeah.
Because this is kind of an interesting part about Hosea. Hosea has a tendency to talk about law and gospel. What was the whole first chapter about? This whole very first part of it was all, was it law or gospel? Somebody said
guessing
over here.
Law.
She said law.
Law. He's like, now all of a sudden he's turning around here. Now he's saying this, and he says, in the place where they was said to them, "You are not my people," they will be called sons of the living God. Now, what is he talking about there? You will not be my people. They will be called the sons of the living God. Because he was just laying down the law to them.
Well, the living God would be the true God, not a idol.
Mm-hmm. So what's God doing here? Before he's laying down the law, now what is he doing to him?
Reclaiming him.
Yes. Very good. It's like he said, laying down the law, laying down the law, and then also he turns around right here at the very end and he does gospel. And so the next portion of what he says in here is the people of Judah and the people of Israel will be reunited. And they will be appointed one leader, and they will come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. Again, does anybody remember what the word Jezreel means?
God scatters. God scatters. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. Oh, I'm sorry. There's also, Jezreel also means that, it's, you're right, God scatters. It also says God. It also has another meaning to it. It says God. God will sow. It's another meaning behind. You know, the Hebrews always have some, you know, different meanings for the same word. It's kind of like we have, you know, words in English that mean one thing or another. There's another thing that it means too. So what is he talking about here? That they will be reunited. I think a lot of us here knows what happened to the Israelites. What happened to them?
They conquered at this time in history?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get conquered. So what's he talking? So what is he talking about? Reunited.
Is it referring to when everyone will be reunited, that they will appoint the one leader? Is that referring to Jesus?
Very good. Yeah. And I didn't tell her any of these answers, guys. No, I didn't see any of this stuff.
We know she's a plant.
Well, usually there's like a capital L, like if it's the one leader, or, you know what I mean? It sort of gives it away, but, you know.
What they're talking about is,
I wasn't sure.
In the Gospel, the New Testament, God talks about the Jews and the Gentiles are going to be one. And who is our leader?
Jesus.
Good. Very good. So that's what they're talking about in here, back in Hosea's time. He's talking about that promise that God makes, going from the law to the Gospel. God's going to save us. All right, well, let's go on to the next portion here, chapter 2. Okay, so let's start off where we left off here. Let's go one at a time.
Say of your brothers, my people, and of your sisters, my loved one.
Rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts.
Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into a parched land, and slay her with thirst.
I will not show her my love. I will not show my love to her children, because they are the children of adultery.
Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers, who will give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink.
Therefore I will block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way.
Don't worry, you have to read, I'll take it from there. She will chase after her lovers but not catch them. She will look for them but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now.
She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they used for Baal.
Therefore I will take away my grain when it ripens, and my new wine when it is ready. I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her nakedness.
So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands.
I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts.
I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, which she said were her pay from her lovers. I will make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them.
I will punish her for the days she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but me she forgot, declares the Lord.
Therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her.
There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt.
And that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master.
I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked.
In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword in battle I will abolish from the land, so that all may lie down in safety.
I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion.
I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord.
In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth.
And the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel.
I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. I will say to those who called, not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God.
Stop right there. There's a lot in here. A lot of information.
Rather vociferous.
Yeah. You know, the thing
don't
is,
hold
is
back, Jose.
The most challenging thing about the Bible is that we're talking about a time frame that we're not familiar with and what's going on. Okay, let's try to go back a little bit here. If you've done any kind of reading about this, at this time, remember we talked about this last week, what were the Israelites doing in the land that God had given to them? What were they doing?
Worshipping false gods.
Worshipping false gods. Just one?
No, I said gods.
Yeah, lots of them. There were a whole bunch that they were doing. And as we talked about last week, it was not good. I mean, it's like they were doing all kinds of things. I mean, from what I've read, it's like even some of the things that the Jewish people, they're worshiping stuff like, you know, even like the ephod that the priests wore, they were like worshiping that as some kind of god. Because it was supposed to be, you know, they thought that this was their way of talking to God through this piece, this breast piece that they had on. It was just really getting weird, you know, what they were doing. So let's go back and let's just kind of do this one at a time right here. And in chapter 2, rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. What's he saying here?
Turned on God, maybe? No.
They basically had an agreement, they broke it by being unfaithful. Mm-hmm. So God is talking about the broken marriage in that sense.
Yeah. There's a total break here. The Israelite, you know, of course we know that she is Israel. And what is Israel doing? Israel is just looking totally away from God and doing all these lewd acts, disgusting acts to the gods of the Canaanites in that area. So then the next thing he says is, otherwise I will strip her naked and make her as bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert, turn her into parched land, and slay her with thirst. So, ooh, what's he saying to him there?
Basically take everything away. I mean,
mm-hmm. In the Jewish custom, when a man found that his wife was cheating on him, what would he do? I know you guys probably don't know this, Jewish custom or anything like that, but does anybody know this?
Put her out.
What would you do now?
Divorce her.
Yeah, divorce her. It's a little different than the kind of divorce we think of today.
They didn't stone her, though, did they?
Yeah, she would get stoned.
If she got caught.
If she got caught, she'd get stoned.
She could be stoned.
As bad as stoned. It's probably a gradation, is there?
Well, what...
Like any other law?
What they would typically do, does anybody know? What they typically do is they take everything away. Because everything that the wife had was owned by the husband. Okay. He would take away everything. Clothing, everything. So she had nothing.
And just kick her to the curb?
Could. You want to, throw her right out naked. he wanted to.
Whoa.
Not many would do that. They'd have to be pretty upset to be able to do something like that, but they had the right to do that in that time.
So is that why California has community property? Is that?
Those kind of things.
You say clean up?
That's what God is saying. He goes, you know what? What does God provide? This is kind of a good word picture. What does God provide us with?
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Including the air we breathe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So what is he saying to the Israelites here? I am providing you with
everything.
Everything.
Everything. And what are you doing?
Abusing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who are they giving credit to?
Baals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
False gods.
They're giving all the credit to these false gods for everything that they have. Just like Jezreel is doing, she's giving all the credit to her. Who's she chasing after?
Wait, you said Jezreel?
I'm sorry, not Jezreel, but Gomer. Who's she chasing after?
Just other lovers?
Mm-hmm. Which represent what?
Other gods.
Other gods. So that's what's happening in that portion right there.
So aren't the Israelites just, like he brought up last week, they're just doing what you need to do to get your crops in, and just doing what the neighbors are doing.
Yeah, just doing what the neighbors do.
Your neighbors gotta
keep up with the Joneses.
Right, they bought a brand new Chevy, why can't I have a brand new Chevy?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I gotta do to get it.
Yeah.
If it's pray to Baal, then pray to Baal.
So again, this, I guess this would be a great question right here, is to say, how does that apply to us today?
I don't know if this applies, but it just reminds me of the story Pastor Waterstrat loves to bring up often, and I just love that too, and we tend to say that in our house a lot, is when Elijah was making that, testing the other priests, and he put it on fire and everything like that, and then what did he say?
Maybe he's sleeping.
How long will you limp between two opinions?
Yeah.
And the Israelites said nothing.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite things to say at us is, say something to our boys and there'd be no responses. The Israelites said nothing.
Yeah.
And the boys are like, oh, cut it out. You know what we're saying.
But it's like we said last time, it's hedging their bets, hedging our bets, you know.
And I just find it interesting that all these gods they worship are things they built with their own hands.
Right.
Out of stuff that God provided for them.
Right.
What part of that aren't they getting?
And going back to the practical portion, like you said right here, it's just like, you know, was it wrong to want a better car?
No.
What do you think, guys? Is it wrong to have a better car?
No.
A better truck?
It's good for the environment, runs cleaner. There's some really good sales out there right now.
It depends on your motivation for getting the car.
Yeah.
If it's to truly, you know, make things clean, if it's to provide a safe vehicle with safe brakes and whatever, you know, or if it's just to show off, you know, how big and shiny your newest toy is.
And it's all tricked out, you know.
Yeah.
And is it because you're coveting your neighbor's one that they have, so now I've got to get just as good, or if not better? And
exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
put those dual pipes out the back.
It's
environmentally sound. Let's stand track here. All right, let's go to the next thing here. Number 5, their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers, and I will get who give me my food and my water and my wool and my linen and my oil and my drink. So what are they saying there? What statement is he making in this part?
So she's going to go to the other gods still to get her. She didn't care what god.
Mm-hmm. So what's she saying in this one right here? Well,
she thinks the other gods are the ones providing it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to them. My lovers provide me with all the stuff that I want. And, you know, again, we talked about this last week. The Israelites, I guess, they're just doing what their neighbors were doing. This is just what, you know, they did. You know, we're just doing what everybody else is doing here.
Trying to fit in.
Just because we have to go sleep with the shrine prostitutes, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Come on, everybody's doing it. What's the big deal? Come on, Hosea. Come on. Gee. I mean, you got a prostitute for a wife. Come on. What are you giving me a hard time for? Okay, again, where is their motivation?
Oh, that was a real question.
That was a real question.
I thought it sounded rhetorical to me.
Everybody's looking around like, on a profound note.
I thought it was rhetorical.
Okay, everybody knows. Therefore, let's go to six. Therefore, I block her path with thorn bushes. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. This is what I had to really look at myself. What are you talking about here?
Who's speaking there?
Mark? Who's speaking there?
Yeah, who's speaking?
Therefore, I will block her.
This is God speaking through Hosea. God is saying something to her at this point, or saying this to Israel. Mm-hmm. What is he going to do?
Rather than big time retaliate, he's just going to isolate them.
How does God isolate his people? Think about it this way. What is he going to do to them that would isolate them?
What, like trials? This
could do trials.
I mean,
yeah, he's going to do a trial.
Yeah. Are you referring to the captivity in Babylon, or the no. when the Assyrians came? And okay, that one first.
He's telling him something here. When was the last time the Israelites before this had to go through trials, where they had to go through the thorn bushes and
Egypt?
They're in Egypt, and they left Egypt, and they had to wander for how long?
40 years.
After the first two.
God wanted to get rid of that generation, right?
That's the one that basically,
the one that said, we can't do it.
takes them through the Red Seas, and see all the stuff they did, and they still...
Gives them manna, gives them quail. We can't do all this stuff like this.
Okay, we're going to have to weed you guys out. So what he's saying right here, again, is that, okay, guys need to go through the thorn bushes again. So he takes the people of Israel, and you know what happened to the northern tribes. Where'd they go?
All over.
Yeah. The Syrians
scattered,
took them into captivity.
Heard from as a people.
Scattered them all over the place. So they have to go through the thorn bushes all over again. Seven. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. Then she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first. For then I was better off than now. Does this kind of sound familiar?
Yeah.
Where else did you see something like this that's kind of almost the same kind of storyline with right here and another?
Sounds like
the
prodigal son.
Yes. You know, it's like, what did the prodigal son finally realize?
The servants had it better than he did.
Yeah.
It's like, I can be a servant and still get better than I'm.
He realized he had been totally ungrateful when he was living at home.
Mm-hmm. Figured out he couldn't do it by himself, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, at some point, if you take enough away from people, do they start thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I'm out in the desert again. Mm-hmm. I had it better where I was with my husband. I guess God was pretty good to me. What did I do?
Some people get that way. Some people just harden their hearts even more.
Oh, yeah. Some can. Some can do that. You know, and it's very true.
Get mad at God.
Oh, yeah.
It's your fault.
And it's an interesting thing. Again, this is only my opinion. If you know what, you know, the Bible says, and you have that in your heart, it's like it's that seed is always there, that knowledge is always there, and you can sit there and go, why, you know, I'm mad, but it all comes back to, again, it's like God says, hey, you know, the pickle you are in is not my fault. You know, you're the one who got yourself here, and until you accept that and ask for forgiveness and move in the right direction, isn't going to happen. You know, that might take 40 years for some people to get that. You know, it may take longer, I don't know. But it's like, it's there. You know, God's promise to us and His Word is always there. He doesn't break His promise. And so it's like, it's we're the ones who do the breaking. All All right. Let's go to number 8. She will not acknowledge that I was the one who gave her grain and the new wine and oil, who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. So again, I'd say, who does it all? God does. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I will take away my grain when it ripens and my new wine when it is ready, and I will take back my wool and my linen intended to cover her nakedness. So what's God saying there?
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
You guys, if you think this is the way it's supposed to be, then you're going to wallow in your sin, and this is what's here's the law or gospel coming up.
It's the law.
Here comes the law. Yeah. You break the law, this is what's going to happen to you. So now I will expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands. That's a really interesting.
Nobody's going to save her?
I mean, if you're in God's hands, don't you always, when you think of saying, I'm in God's hands, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Could be good.
Yeah.
Interesting, huh? Could be good.
Could be.
Should be good.
It
is good.
Could be good.
It is.
What if God has you in your hands and something bad happens? What's he saying right here? I will now expose her lewdness before the eyes of her lovers. No one will take her out of my hands.
It's like he's disciplining her, but out of love.
Interesting way of putting it too.
Mm-hmm. It's like when we discipline our children, we love them. The love never stops, and we love them so much that we discipline them.
Correct.
And he's also saying that Baal's not going to have the power to take her.
Very good.
He's all powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got her in his hands, and is he going to discipline her? Yeah, he discipline her. I mean, for those of you who have children, what's the first thing they say to us when we discipline them?
I'm calling the cops.
Yeah. In California, it could possibly be one of the things.
You're mean.
You're mean.
It's not fair.
What's another thing they use against us, too? You don't
love me.
Yep. So what do you say back to them when they say those things to you?
I'm doing it because I do love you.
I didn't
Life
love
isn't
you.
Fair.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it because I do love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
love
don't want
you
it
so
to turn
much.
Out one in a bad way.
Right.
One of the things we always try to make clear to our boys, and I remember saying this a lot, is that it's not that I don't love you. I do love you. I just don't like your actions. That's what I'm not happy with. I'm not happy with your actions, but I do love you. No matter what you do, I will always love you. But I don't like your actions. That's why I'm giving you this discipline. And I really firmly believe that that's exactly what God does to us. He goes, I've got you, and I love you, and I'm going to discipline you, because you need to learn this. But I'll never, ever let you go. So that's really a good thing to know that you're in his hands, for good or worse.
I think we have the world view of being in the hand, too, is if you look at the prostitute, the wife, you know, when she was doing her thing, she's getting money and worldly possessions and stuff, and we, you know, and you say, well, you know, I'm going to hang out with my husband instead. I'm going to be poor. I'm going to have my needs met, but it's going to be different lifestyle. I mean, this is a prophet. Yeah. You know, he's not a king.
Yeah.
You
know,
he's not. Prophets were like, man, this guy's
you know,
got
they're living on a shoestring kind of thing. You know, and I'm sure a lot of the motivation for what she did was luxury.
Oh, yeah.
And how that fits today, you know, you're going to stay in the palm of God's hand, or you're going to mess with the worldly things that are out there and leave the nest kind of a thing. And go or try to go back and forth or whatever, like she did, you know? Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know some people that are very wealthy, but they still are very grounded in God's Word, and they, you know, they have a lot, but they also, it's like, you know, the talents, you know, for those who have a lot, they'll be given more if they can handle it. Mm-hmm. God only gives you what you can handle. You know, some of us can handle more, and some of us can't. You know, so it's just like God gives us when we can. And it doesn't mean that you're always going to be like that, too. We can grow, too. Okay, next one, 11. I will stop all her celebrations, her yearly festivals, her new moons, her Sabbath days, all her appointed feasts. What's going on there?
Party's over. That's my way of putting it.
I don't understand why they say all the Sabbath days. I don't get...
What happens when you're taken into captivity?
Well, you have to work all the time.
It's over, like
that's
Michelle said.
Okay.
The party's
that is a good
over.
Point.
The Assyrians took them into captivity, and guess what? The party was over.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, when they got taken off to Babylon, the party was over. They had to mourn and weep because guess what? They couldn't do any of those things they had to do before. Now they got to do all the things that the Babylonians and Assyrians tell them to do. Mm-hmm. And do it.
Mm-hmm. You lose all your freedoms.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. It's gone.
Gone. Mm-hmm. You're now a slave. Okay? You do what we tell you to do now. You know? So that party was over. I will ruin her vines and her fig trees, and she will... She said, we're paying for her lovers. I will make her a thick, make them a thicket, and wild animals will devour them. Again, we're going to the law here. I will punish her for the days she burned incense in the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went to her lovers, but she forgot me, declares the Lord. Again, what is God saying here?
She was attributing everything to the false gods again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Turning to them, and God said,
she forgot.
Yep, you forgot me. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You're done. Mm-hmm. So therefore I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. Okay, you're in the desert? And what's God going to do to you in the desert?
Speak tenderly. The gospel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how you're putting it. So, you're in captivity and you're suffering through all this stuff now. And then how is God going to speak to you then? How's that going to happen?
Usually when we're at the end of our ropes, that's when we listen really well. When we're willing to listen.
Yeah.
I'm looking for something else.
We've calmed down enough for them to start realizing what we had before, and we're willing to listen to, oh, that's what it is. That's where, you know, you go to the kids, and now that they've calmed down, okay, now we can talk. They're willing to listen to me again. And
Okay. What I want to do here, I know because we got a lot of stuff coming here, because I want to kind of try to catch us up to that third portion here, because I want to read that one last part, but I'm just going to go through some of these things so you can get some of these too, because you're all right on the right track. You're doing really well. Why does he lure her tenderly into the desert? Indicates starting the relationship over. God's like, okay, we're going to have to start from square one again. Start the relationship all over. Could go back to when they came out of the wilderness from Egypt and the promised land. Let's start over again. It could be better. It could mean that even in captivity, God wouldn't just ditch his people. He used the experience to reestablish the relationship they trashed while living in the promised land. Party land. All right. I'm sorry, the promised land. They were thinking it was the party land. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then they get to this one place called the Valley of Achor. In the southern part of Judea by Jericho, where the Israelites crossed over, there Achan was stoned for taking things from Jericho. Okay. Anchor means trouble. Anchor means trouble. So here, trouble on account of disobedience will hopefully lead to repentance and new obedience. Okay, let's see if there's anything else that would be a good thing to say here. Oh, the very end here, when he talks about why would she call him her husband and not master? In the very end part, why would he call her husband, not master? The very end portion there.
Well, you won't feel like a slave to that person. You'd be more like a partner to that person. I mean, that's what I...
Yeah. Well, husband is an equal partner, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Supposed to be. Mm-hmm.
Well, not...
No,
you're still looking up to that person, but the master is like, you know, you're way lower than them.
Mm-hmm. So. Sounds like reconciliation to me.
Yeah, and at the same time, too, because remember they were doing, they were worshiping the Baals. Remember what the Baal means? What does Baal mean again? There's two meanings to it.
I don't remember you saying that.
Master means Baal.
Yes, master or Lord. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be calling, you're going to call me, you know, I'm your husband, I'm not your master. Okay? So she is not allowed to use the word Baal anymore. You can't say that word. You're telling Israel, you're not using that word anymore. Okay, no more. So, because it says, yes, there was more than one name for the Baal. The Baal means Lord or Master. So Baalzebub, or Beelzebub, is the Lord of the flies. Also, there were many statues of Baal, the thunder maker. Many little idols of the Baals whose names cross the lips of the Israelites all the time, because they're always, they had all these different lords or masters that they were worshiping. So there's a lot of different ones. Okay, let's go to part three here, because I want to get this part in here, because this is really good. So Hosea, reconciliation with his wife. And let's start, where do we end up over here? Because I think it was Joyce, you were the last one to read.
Maybe.
And then so let's move on to the next person.
Darren,
right here.
Chapter 3. Yeah.
Talking to me.
Chapter 3.
The Lord said to me, "Go, show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes."
So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver, and I bought a homer, and I can't remember what this one is.
Lethic?
Of barley.
Then I told her, "You are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you."
For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or idol.
Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings and the last days.
Okay, I got a really easy question for you guys here. Law or gospel here? This is gospel. Okay. After all the things that the Israelites have been doing, what is God saying here to his wife? Oh, well, go. What's he saying to his wife?
Take her back.
Mm-hmm. Take you back.
Yeah. He's.
I love you.
He's redeeming her. He's buying her back here.
Buying her back. I mean, what was the whole idea behind redeeming? What was the purpose of that? The Jewish people had this system of redeeming. Now, it could be redeeming a slave, it could be redeeming a wife, it could be redeeming a son, it could be redeeming a daughter, it could be redeeming the land. You know, all these different redeeming processes that they went through. What's all behind that?
So you could start over?
Yeah, it's like starting over. Right. Okay. It's one of the beautiful things that the Jewish people really had is God set up a system where they could actually redeem, like he would redeem us all the time. He knew he was going to have to, I think. So he always set up these things to be able to redeem things, and he wanted this to be a lesson to them in their daily lives of how they do those kind of things, how to redeem. But I think what happens is over time, you know, instead of using it as an example of how we redeem and renew things, they kind of just thought of it as, what do you think? Here's some barley for that. What are they thinking of it as?
Buy your way here.
Yeah. It's just like a transaction. You know? It's like, to them, it became a transaction. It wasn't what it did, the meaning behind it got lost. So it's like the Lord here is saying to them, it's like, I am going to redeem you at some point here again. They have to be faithful. And that's what he's talking about through this whole portion right here. So, let's go back to us now, today. How does God redeem us? I'm not just talking about, you know, Jesus died on the cross or anything like that to redeem us. That's very, very, very true. But today, how does God redeem us today?
The word and the sacraments?
Yeah. That's very true. I mean, every time we come here, every 2 weeks, not about you guys, but I feel really good about that. I'm up there with a smile on my face because, boy, I need some redeeming.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else besides that, that how God redeems us?
Every day is always forgiving.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Every day is always forgiving.
Yes.
It's great.
No matter what.
Every mm-hmm. single day. What do we have to do to get that redemption?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Well, for some of us, I mean, it's just even difficult to just even pray silently to God and ask for that. You know, that's something that we can do, and it's sometimes very difficult for some people to do that, because God will redeem us always. And it's like, that's the biggest thing that we have to remember. It's on a daily basis. Because we all do. You know, in our thoughts, words, and actions, we're always doing something that is just not right. So, let's see. I just want to make sure I got everything here. Gosh, I'm going to send you guys out here early. that would be a tragedy. Not early.
That's amazing, actually.
Hey, Mark, I got a question.
Sure, let's hear it.
How does this figure in? They had a law back in this period of time where every 15 years all debts were forgiven.
Yeah, that's what I was
thinking. They called it the year of what?
Back in this time period, yeah. they had a law that said every 15 years, I think it was.
50.
I thought it was every 7.
I thought it was 7 years.
Well, there was a time span. Yeah. Okay, I don't know what.
It was called the year of Jubilee.
Right.
It was 40 years. That
all your debts were forgiven, you started over.
Yep.
How does that figure into what you're discussing?
Well, again, it's like the Jewish customs that they had in here were basically set because they knew, and somebody can correct me on if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, a year of Jubilee was, I think, 40 years.
I thought it was 50.
50?
I
thought it was 40 or 50. So,
okay, that's your homework assignment.
So what's a lifetime?
Yeah, you could be a slave or you could be in debt. And that year of Jubilee, depending upon what it was, I mean, you could be sacked with a huge debt that was, you know, I don't know, equivalent to $1 million or something today, and you'd have it that one year, and then it's the year of Jubilee the next year, wipe clean. Okay, or you might have to wait 50 years or 49 years or whatever it would be for that to be lifted from you. So, but the thing is that there was always some type of redemption down the road. And they had smaller ones too, that they had that kind of thing going on too. So, yeah. Wish you had that today, huh?
Yeah, people would have used it even more.
I think the Congress is doing it now.
The auto companies are getting it.
And before that, the bank bailed out, and you can't get more than...
Yeah, we're so
sign a 30-year mortgage right before the year of Jubilee.
any other questions at all? Because I was just going to read one other thing here as far as like application, unless there's any other questions. Application. Again, our cheating on God. Perhaps focus on modern-day equivalents of crops and livestock for us, okay? You know, what kind of things do we kind of like, you know, put our faith or sometimes, you know, trust in today? Because I mean, back then it was all crops and livestock. Oh, you know.
Worldly stuff. We put trust in
401ks?
Yeah, 401ks, you know, stock markets, investments, you know, there's different things, you know, precious metals, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. you know. Things go up and go down, you know. Same thing with them. If it rained one year and they got a lot of crops, everything great. You know, the next year it'd be drought, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crops are dead, the animals are not doing too well. So it's like they suffer the same things we suffer too today. So we have to be aware of those things. And it's like we are so abundantly blessed that we forget who is responsible for allowing such blessings. We think we have done it ourselves. And so God may be so kind as to let us live without it for a while so that we can turn back to Him and trust in Him only. So when something bad happens to you, don't always think like, oh, why me? You know, sometimes you have to take a look and say, well, you know, everything happens for a reason, good or bad. Everything happens for a reason. Okay, so you have to take a look at those. You have to take a look at those things in your life. Okay, class is missed. A couple minutes early.